Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right.
Andrea, you just belched a Barney from The Simpsons level. That was beautiful. I am a belch.
You know, you have to like get it out before we hit record.
Yep. And I just slammed my kneecap on my desk somehow, which reminds me of when you run into the low boy behind the hot bar when just a classic service industry injury. Oh,
yeah. And 20, then just back 22. To all the memories of me just burping it out before I walk up to my tables and greet them.
Truly, truly. You were like, okay, I need to empty myself of all my fluids and air, you know?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you don't succeed.
That's what walk-ins are for, baby.
Yep. Yeah. I know.
Oh, God. Welcome to Sidework Podcast in the 2022, Brooke. Hello.
Hi. I'm not improved in any way.
Oh, I mean, who gives a fuck?
I know. Who gives a fuck? Truly, it's just like you're sitting here going like resolutions. Okay. I resolve to survive a little bit longer and then hopefully fucking move forward when you can actually make a resolution because life will have calmed the fuck down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
No judgment. If you are like, you know, resolutions can be small and they can be controllable. Don't get me wrong. But right now I'm like, I just want to like, I resolve to only a few days of feeling sad and cut off from the world.
I woke up on New Year's Day feeling so sorry for myself.
Oh,
just
really?
Like, I was just like, shitty mood, all holiday plans completely fucking dissolved. You came over, which was lovely. And, you know, and it's also just like, I didn't drink much, but I still had that like 2 glasses of sparkling at midnight, which always makes me feel like shit.
Right.
Because
right
I've been
before
drinking
bed.
Something yes. else. And so I got up and I was like, okay, I think I feel good. But then I was like, rot-row. I don't know if I do feel good. And you know what I did? The sun was shining, which was lovely. I microdosed and went for a big walk. And I felt that I was like, I feel great. What a great decision. And like I let my words out and I like looked at Brian and I was like, this is nobody's fault. Like, I feel sorry for myself. It's out of our control. It's nobody's fucking fault. Like, and I was like, let's go home and watch Succession now. Like, we've
Thank
done
you,
our
right. we did our thing, and again, it's like, it's nobody's fault. And all you can do is after you get down, which you're allowed to, is just do your best to get up again. Because that was me. I was kind of busy and had a good walk on Saturday. I did not have the, I didn't feel bad because I barely drank because I was driving to see you. And Sunday was my emotional apocalypse because I was taking down the tree and I was like, didn't have any dinners. Literally, it was you. And Brian, who were my 2 times, like my big holiday plans that worked out. And it was really, really fun.
Yeah, you got some delicious short ribs tacos in your, in your gullet.
We had some in between things that we had hoped to do that were going to be larger parties. And those just fell apart. And it's all good. And, you know, I feel sorry for myself Sunday and then just was like, I'm expressing. All right, going to shake it off. And then I woke up, went back to work on Monday and was just like, you know what? I'm happy to be back. I'm grateful. All the things.
You know, I was even thinking too. I was like, on Monday, I was like, oh, like because I finally packed up Christmas like this week, like the tree went down today. I like the glow. I want to look at
your
it a
house
little longer.
Is so cozy. it's a really good cozy Christmas house.
Yeah. So I took it down today, but I was just like, on Monday, I was like, I'm ready for normal Christmas now. That was just a joke, right, guys? And I kind of, for a few minutes, was just like, wouldn't it be nice if it was just a prank and we could all have normal Christmas now? But then I, you know, quickly realized reality and was like, it's fine. Take it down and everything will be much better. Because then you could have normal Christmas and hope for it in 365 days, you know?
There we go. Something to look forward to. Yeah,
totally. Totally. Oh my God. Something to look forward to. But I don't know. You know this, but I'm going to say it out loud. We have this great website, which you introduced me to, called sick.org. If you guys don't know about it, it's here and it's, I don't know. I have to look and see where else it is. It's somewhere else in the country. But they deliver PCR and rapid tests to your front door, and you can take them. They're either free or a small fee, depending on how backed up they are. So they're currently bonkers busy, you know, because shit's cray. And so I've been in this queue because that you have to take your test like via teleconference in front of a physician, or they deem it invalid. So I was in a queue for like 2.5 hours. Started at like 1:50. Down to 4, and then all of a sudden I got kicked out of the queue and it was like number 100 again. I'm currently at 32. So you guys, this is happening live right now. I'm in a queue.
This is in a queue. There might be live nasal swabbing.
Yeah, there will be. I'll come back sniffly for sure. But I just feel like me being like stuck in the queue and then like bounce to the end again is a perfect fucking metaphor for how the holidays went. It's like, I think we're almost there. We're going to do it. We're going to hang out. We're going to do it. And then it was like, no, fuckwad, get in the back of the line. Nothing for you. Like, that's how I feel. But it's okay. I recognize it.
I know.
I accept it. We're all good. Just fucking move forward. That's all we can do.
Just keep moving forward. It is what it is. Like, I think it's just goddamn beating a goddamn horse. We're going on 2 years, baby. I think we have had, at this point, there will have been more abnormal years of the podcast than
I know.
Non-COVID.
That's hilarious. And who fucking would have thought, right? To be like, whoa, you know, like we've known each other for almost 20 years and we waited tables together a million years ago and then for many, many years and created this podcast because we wanted to like give back, and then a pandemic hits and who fucking knew, you know?
I'm telling you, I am in the right timeline.
We're in the right timeline. It's fine.
We're in the right timeline. I'm not gonna lie though, I have always felt like just it's not a complaint. I don't mean to seem, because I've had really, you know, like I love my life. There are just things that like everything feels off by a few decades sometimes for me, or it's a very deja vu feeling, because I do believe, you know, I'm sure I've lived other lives and been other people and have strong deja vu, but there is sometimes like am I supposed to be right here right now, because this sometimes fits like a sweater that I fucking shrunk in the dryer, like this life of mine, you know.
Somebody just told me that 1982 called. Is that where I'm supposed to be? Oh, it's an insult with my wardrobe. Okay,
got it. Okay. And I told you to pass the depression back in quarantine, and then obviously torrential downpour in Los Angeles, which is not like regular rain. I want to go on record. It's not,
it's
like
a
regular
storm
rain.
Of rain. Like it's a storm. I used to laugh and be like, "Ha, storm! You guys are fucking dumb." And then it's like, it's very real.
It's very real. Very real. And the city and the landscape and the terrain is not equipped for it.
Yeah.
Like everything floods. It's really gross. And I retreated deep, deep into the fantasy world of Outlander, which I told you.
You did. Oh, and where are you now?
It's gotten, like I told you, and for anyone, I'm not going to do any spoilers, but for anyone who knows the show, knows that it's just these two are always getting into hijinks. It's like it's one, every time one of them
and then
leaves,
just boning the whole way.
Guys, if you are in the mood for beautiful, historical, beautiful like drama that also has fantasy elements,
it's like pure about the erotica, right? I would say.
And then yes, crazy, like the boning is better than anything I ever saw in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is high class boning, and it's like for her pleasure because this is a female protagonist mm-hmm. show,
educated
and
they get the sex woman. Scenes.
Educated woman who's like, I'm gonna get my nut and we're gonna do the sex scenes in a way that would make any woman, you know, or woman identifying who's like yeah, this is how I want the sex. You're watching. I wanked a little bit when it was like I stayed up really late on the couch.
Totally.
One night.
It's a wank show. It's a lady wank show.
I was
for
like,
sure.
What the fuck?
No.
I've never wanked.
It's a lady wank inducer for reals.
Damn. Anyways, guys, a great indulgence if maybe you caught the vid and are stuck for a few days and want to just like check out, flick the bean while you're watching a Scottish guy constantly. We have to get you back to the rocks of Crab Rangoon.
Yeah, she did. She walked through some rocks and she got boned real hard way back in the day. Oh, anyway,
God.
I can't wait to like further your journey with this and see where it takes you. Because things get. I'm not gonna say anything.
No, I'm getting into season two and I already have some grievances about it. I found some plot holes that I screamed out loud to Sean. And he was like, I haven't watched any of it. I'm like, you need to listen to me.
They're like, what, you know, oh, I'm supposed to wank to this now? I'm supposed to wank to that, this plot hole?
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyways, I know. Rats.
Rats. Of,
we'll get there in a minute. Guys, we're going to be running a beautiful lo-fi. Listen, if you haven't figured it out, Lo-Fi is partnered with us. Mm-hmm. Aperitifs, a beautiful brand that we honestly feel legit about. Mm-hmm. This isn't just shilling. It's like a personal relationship with someone we think is a badass, working for a product that we think is badass.
Like super versatile. I love every drink we've made. Every single drink.
Yes.
I'm like, that's my new favorite drink.
You get into the dry stuff. And our big joke was like, okay, dry January, meh. We don't really like that for the service industry because it's terrible for your checks. So Victoria, once again, dropped by with Lo-Fi to present to us a dry-ish January with their twist, which is making low ABV drinks with dry vermouth. Mm-hmm. Hello. Mm-hmm. So let's check in with Victoria real quick. Guys, it's 2022. We did it. We made it.
Here we are. We did it. And we also have another drop by with Lo-Fi. Victoria Candy, our favorite bartender and ambassador to Lo-Fi Aperitifs, is here.
Hello.
Hello. And you are going to talk to us today about not necessarily like going dry in January, like so many people do, but dry-ish in January.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a couple reasons for that. We'll see if you get it.
Okay.
One being dry January is a theme. Hello, we're going to do low ABV drinks. So this is just dryish. But the other reason,
we're still drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
The other reason is because we're using Lo-Fi Dry.
Lo-Fi Dry Vermouth.
I knew you guys would get it. I knew it.
In the know.
Yeah, so one of my favorite drinks of all time is the G&T.
So simple.
Gin and tonic.
So good, right?
So simple and so good. My other favorite drink of all time is the V&T because what I like to call Lo-Fi Dry is basically the low ABV gin replacement.
Nice.
So what we're doing is we're taking Lo-Fi Dry in place of the gin, like I mentioned. So 2 ounces of that. We're going to put in any glass that you want with ice. You're going to top it with Fever Tree Mediterranean Tonic, which is one of my favorite tonics ever. It is really light, low on the quinine, and there is bursts of thyme and rosemary in it, which I think is really interesting and really great.
Yum. They really do make a great product that pairs just kind of perfectly with lo-fi, I have to say.
Yeah. So then in your glass, we're going to do Garnish Game Strong with a sprig of thyme, a sprig of rosemary, and a lemon wheel. So you'll get all of the aromatics that you find in the tonic, and plus your drinker will look baller.
Top resolution for Andrea, Garnish Game Strong.
Oh my God, right?
Ugh. Cocktail, not so strong.
Oh, she did it. Burr, 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 burr.
Oh my
Hip-hop
God.
Air horn.
Yeah, yeah. Victoria, thank you so much for dropping by with Lo-Fi. Happy New Year to you guys.
Ugh, I can't wait to get dry.
I'm going to go get dry right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It is funny. Everyone does talk about dry January. We've touched on the topic a couple times now this time of year on the podcast. And for me, it's more like ramp it down from full throttle eggnog and bourbon January.
You can't help not. Yeah. It's like the tree's down. All the cheese in the house is gone. You know, like you've drank all the drinks. You can't help but like kind of go cleaner because you already consumed everything in sight. You know,
I got rid of all the offenders. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I shoved them all in my face and, you know, I ate your beautiful toffee. I took down two jugs of nog. I got Sean into it even. And you're like, just the fact alone that I'm not drinking sugar, fat, and like three egg yolks in a glass with bourbon is already a step in the right direction.
I was like, why do my sinuses hurt? And I was like, oh, everything I've eaten today has dairy in it.
Like, I know.
Or sugar.
I mean,
or both. So yeah, it makes sense that we would like, we have to like, you know, calm it down. But I also am the kind of person that's just like, look, I'm a fucking human being, adult person. And I've never, as much as like resolutions and people are like, I'm doing this, I'm quitting that, I'm blah. I'm like, I'm a realistic bitch, you know, like.
Well, it's not sustainable. And that, you know, for me, it's like I chose days of sobriety or near sobriety well before dry January.
Hell yeah.
Which to me, I was just like, shit is real. It's crazy. I'm a little bit scared. I'm depressed. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit with it instead of checking out.
Yeah. But this is also just like a fun, like usual. Be like, I just love the idea that you can like, it's so versatile, especially this like tonic situation with all the different accoutrements you can like plop into that glass.
And that's the thing that I realized, too, about, like, you know, when you're like, listen, I don't really need the buzz or the hangover the next day. But what I do crave as an adult, like, it's a tasting. Like, I love, like, a really nice, like, just a good dry, fizzy with some bitter spirit, you know, sort of taste to it. And like, that whole... God, there's this other thing. I forget. It's a can called Bitters and Sodas, which is a mixer.
You can drink it on its own. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is medicinal. It is strong, but it gives you the feels.
Somebody just give me a hot tip.
Okay.
It's actually Sita, because I saw her, our friend Sita.
Yeah.
Swedish bitters are supposed to be like incredible immune system boosters, like preventatives.
Listen, we are also healers, a.k.a. we are Claire from Outlander. People take your advice about oregano oil, and now we will try some Swedish bitters.
I'm
going to get back to you all.
Order up some Swedish bitters. If they come in the form of Swedish fish, I'm all in. But I'm ready. I'm like anything to boost the immune system. So I'm 25th in the queue. I'm just giving a live update.
Okay, got it.
She's currently 25 in the queue.
Woohoo! You know, today's show is going to be some headlines and some just like catching up with some really important breaking news, along with a live stream of Andrea potentially swabbing her fucking nose live on Sidework Podcast.
Headlines on headlines on headlines, though, guys. We thought, if anything, you know, with the... tomorrow's the anniversary of a little insurrection. Let's like not talk about that.
We're not going there. We're not going there. Don't worry. We're not going there. Don't care.
These headlines we found are incredible. Brooke, do you want to start us off with this first one?
Oh, absolutely. So this one caught my eye actually about a week ago when I think it it actually might be about 2 weeks old. It was kind of making the round, but I also feel like every headline was Omicron. So this, you guys might have slept on this one. So basically, there was a weird sort of intentional Airbnb catfish type of situation where this girl rented an Airbnb that was part of, I think these are hotel rooms, because this is now a thing that happens. Hotels will, if they don't fill up in the traditional way, will put hotel rooms on Airbnb. Did you know that?
Yes.
So it's a practice that's legal. It's not weird. But so there were, you know, obviously in a hotel, all the rooms are going to have consistency, look the same. If you see one picture of a room, you can expect this is what I'm going to get. So she booked this room in, I think it was Midtown Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And in the picture she saw of the space, you open the windows to look out on, hey, beautiful, hustling, bustling Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
The curtains were drawn. She checked in, got all comfy, settled in, rolled up the fucking shades, and it was a window looking directly into a restaurant in Manhattan with two people unaware, like having a conversation and eating sushi in front of her, because it turns out it's a two-way mirror. So they... Or those windows where for her, like, it looked just sort of like glossed over kind of reflective surface that the diners were sitting in front of, unaware that someone was renting a room, and they were sitting there going, what the fuck is going on right now? They got so scared that they turned like the light out in the room. This went viral on TikTok. And she said, what the fuck am I looking at? So the room opened into a purposely... Like, so then she went downstairs into the restaurant and was investigating. She was like, oh my God, there they are. That's like the window to my room. But she didn't say anything yet. But she posted it. Then because it went viral on TikTok, the people who were sitting at the table found her and were like, it was us. They messaged her. So then she went and talked to the restaurant. The window opens up. So then when she, it's fucking crazy. But the Airbnb owners are claiming to be like, oh, we're sorry that your stay, you know, was like, it's so weird because it's the people who rent it knew that they were doing something crazy,
right,
and weird.
Right.
But Airbnb as the parent company has to be like, they have to put out like every crazy fire because there are so many dangerous and weird, terrible situations that people have gotten into.
Hurrying up with it, from what I've heard, Airbnb.
And this wasn't nefarious more than it was like, is this an episode of Black Mirror? What the fuck is going on?
This is like full on a prank show situation.
Exactly. Which was, I mean, I was delighted. I would have been like, oh my God, this is the best thing that's ever happened. So I think the kitchen or the restaurant knows about it because when she went downstairs and cracked the window open, then the joke was the staff was handing me tequila shots through my fucking hotel window.
Companion was out there and like waved, and then they were like, take these tequila shots back to the room. And then when they were done, they just like put the empty glasses like out on the table right outside the mirror.
It was like, okay, every little childish impulse and fantasy loving girl in me who's like, listen, Narnia exists through the wardrobe. Yeah. You know, this to me is like more, you know, probably representative of my life where I'm like, oh, look at me. All I got was like a fucking restaurant through a window.
There's fantasies about it too. Like, remember when you were a kid and you were like, I would live in a mall. Like, that'd be the best thing in the world. Or like, what was the book where like the kids like hide out in the Smithsonian and live there, you know, like not Night at Museum, like the other one. Everybody will come
Jungle
at
Jungle Book.
Come at me, guys. Tell me, because I forgot.
Jumanji.
I would Google, but I'm in a queue.
She's in a queue. She can't leave the queue, you guys. But you guys, check it out. It's if you didn't see it, basically like, I guess the basically like hotel window opens into restaurant, viral TikTok.
We should.
It's so funny.
We'll post that shit for sure.
We should repost it if we ever go back on social media, which we're gonna try.
The view was wonderful.
So I'll take the next story, which is very fun, coming out of Eater, who, of course, we adore. Okay, so rats, which is one of our favorite topics of all time on this show.
Rat chat is back.
Chat. So the question is, are there more rats, Brooke, now than there were pre-pandemic. What do you think?
Well, the article goes on to explain the phenomenon of why it seems
legions. To build up to.
Okay. Yes.
But yes.
No, I know. Basically, but that's what people think.
People are seeing more rats because there's just more rats. Because we're outside, eating outside, and we're not. We have changed our trajectory of how we do things, which has then fucked with rats' whole way of life.
Their entire ecosystem was also disrupted during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When restaurants shut down,
it's a trickle right. down. Right.
That's their meal ticket, is like a fucking fat bag of garbage in an alleyway. And then restaurants were closed down. So then we didn't see rats for a little bit.
Exactly.
And then they had to, well, we did, because they had to come up from the gutters to start looking for food elsewhere.
Absolutely. So basically this article is saying that, like, you know, they're more in your face than ever because everybody's outside. You know, you've got these parklets that are all kind of smell weird and funky now because there might just be some dead rats under them. And that's fucking life.
And I also like to refer to you in New York as, I don't know how else to call it other than the milk puddles. It just everywhere in the streets in New York looks like puddles of milk. And you're like, I know it's not milk, but somehow it's
milky,
morphed into milk.
Milk-ish. I think, like, especially the back of the restaurants, I know it. It's just like all the stuff. It's like all this runoff from the kitchen, from the dishwater. I know the puddles you're talking about, and they fucking stink, and they hang out by the grease dumpster.
Oh yeah, baby.
That's where they hang out. And you know who loves it there? Fucking rats love it there.
Rats.
But I think they're becoming more fierce. You know, we heard in the beginning of the pandemic that, like, you would see rats, like, fucking going to town in the middle of the street, like 30, like those monkeys that we saw. Remember when we saw those crazy wild monkeys that would just, like, go attack any semblance of food? Rats are kind of like that right now. And again, people are just have to fucking deal. People are having to throw down lots of money on nice fancy dinners and have to be like, well, I guess there's going to be mice and rats running over my feet the entire time I'm in here.
God, it kills me. Like, basically people were taking videos. And obviously this has been going on for a while, but it's sort of like culminated into an existential question where people are like, has the rat population strengthened or what is it? And the truth is something in between where it's just like, no, we're lucky that we don't see as many rats as we usually do. Mm-hmm. And now they're up from the underground. You know, they're during
a plague. You know what I mean?
I mean, they belong here during a goddamn pandemic. Are you kidding me? Yeah. This is where they shine, baby. And they, like, are doing split shifts between terrorizing you on the subway, like literally getting out of the train cars and making people jump, which is my favorite videos ever that I ever watch. And then they're like, I thought I was done for the day, but now I got to go upstairs and I got to go fucking piss off some people in a parklet.
And they just have to go where the food source is. That's just really, like, the thing. They're just like, well, I guess this is what I fucking do now. But there has been talk that maybe because rat colonies have had so much stress put on them because available food sources have shifted and changed so much, it shook up their feeding patterns and has sent them out into the broad daylight of streets. Like you're saying, they're probably getting killed more, exposed to the elements more, and, like, not, there could be less rats out there.
I mean, this, like, the, like, there's just a sentence, there's a paragraph in this article that's like, then, as restaurants reopened and diners spilled into makeshift outdoor dining setups, food was once again plentiful, and suddenly the rats were everywhere. This is like a child's book.
Oh,
that
no,
you read them at night.
I'm getting
the,
like,
rats were everywhere,
Templeton,
scampering over feet,
Charlotte's Web vibes real hard right
jumping
now.
Out of bushes and popping up on every street where there was food to be eaten. Rat colonies. Yes, I know.
I feel like our headlines today have real Pixar themes, in my opinion. This being the Ratatouille of them.
It's true, right? It starts, oh God, and get ready. There's just even more. Andrea, what's your number? Where are you at?
Have you gone up 20?
Okay, this could happen during the fucking broadcast. I'm gonna keep talking just to linger and make sure you get COVID tested live on air.
Live on air.
Sidework podcast.
Let it be known I don't have any symptoms. I'm just weekly testing to do my part. Because I am literally face to face with the public as a job.
Yep. She's conscientious. But that's, yes, that's amazing though. You know, we love a good rat headline over here. Man, it makes me makes me miss New York, you know?
Well, there's plenty of rats here, Brooke, is that there's plenty of rats in LA. And I think they you don't see them and they're just out. There's roofing rats for sure.
I see them on the roof and on the top of my fence a lot. Mm-hmm.
You're like, you know? Is that a cat? No, it's a fucking rat, dude.
Oh,
what?
Shit.
They're huge. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first moved here, it wasn't like the rats I saw. I was like, I remember seeing the biggest cockroach I've ever seen in my entire life, just with my eyes, other than like at the zoo, like the big, you know what I mean? But I was like, what the actual fuck? And the big ones like aren't as dangerous, right? It's the little guys you have to watch out for. But I remember I was in Silver Lake and I was just, I had parked and I was like meeting everybody at the, what is the Mexican restaurant we used to go to the back and it's gone now by this, they tore it down and built like a Scientology building.
Oh my God, please remember the name because it's been killing me.
I'll remember. I gotta think. I know. We went there like all, yeah, it's where everybody would go
when we
and
first
drink
moved
cheap
here.
Margaritas and smoke cigarettes on the back patio. It, but are we,
please,
we're meeting,
we have to
there,
ask. Yeah.
Okay. And I was just like, is that a fucking 6-inch, 5-inch long cockroach? Just like, da-da-da-da-da. Real Bug's Life, teeting another Pixar mention. But yeah, that was my version of an LA rat, in my opinion, is huge cockroaches.
Wow. But let's ask, I think like Mitch would be someone
Jocelyn
will know. And because that's when I really like us meeting back there with our friends who'd been in LA and I was like, guys, we did it. Mm-hmm. We moved to fucking Los Angeles, mm-hmm, and look at us hanging out in like a local Silver Lake fucking Hollywood adjacent bar.
I know.
Bar,
that's when
and
I was like,
did
I
it.
Guess I just drink tequila now, like everybody else.
And
I was
crestfallen when I was like, but this is like a place that I would terrorize for years.
Oh, yeah.
And yep, we only got like a few months with it and
I
then
know.
It shut down.
Such a bummer.
Boo.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Next headline, also from Eater, because they're the shit. The future of food. Here we go.
Yes.
The future is now. And the future is drones dropping fast food at your door, you guys. We've entered the Wall-E portion, in my opinion, of the Pixar theme.
And you know that we love this topic. This is a conference that recently happened in Las Vegas called the Food on Demand Conference, which I'm guessing was filled with nerds. Mm-hmm. And it's this big conference that happens in, is it called the Bellagio? Is
yeah,
that how you say
Bellagio,
it?
Yeah.
Okay. Bellagio.
Have you never been to the Bellagio?
I've never been to Vegas.
What?
I don't intend to. Girl, we'll see. I would go with friends if we agreed to make fun of it.
All we're allowed to do is make fun of it.
We
go see Magic Mike. Oh God, let's do it.
No, I with the right group, I would probably have a fucking
Brooke,
riot.
There's an insane neon museum downtown, and it's all the old signage from Vegas. Like, it's the Vegas Boneyard.
Cool.
Like, the neon sign Boneyard. And it's fucking incredible. And at night, it lights up. Like, you would flip your shit. Downtown's great. There's tiki bars.
Yes.
Like, crazy. Anyways.
I had been... Okay. Please. Throw me this bone, if you will. I had been warming up to the idea of it. And then when the pandemic hit, you're like, that is the most nightmarish place on earth.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you can't go
no.
there. Everything is indoors and everything is, you know, you're
it's
putting,
a lot. It's a lot.
It's
right
a lot.
Now. Yeah.
So when things feel better and are safer, I would absolutely finally in my 40s be ready to give Vegas a chance. And then you're suddenly like, she never came back, guys.
Yeah,
she never fucking came back. She
yeah
was avoiding her destiny all this time.
And honestly, 36 hours. That's all you need in that town. You show up in the afternoon, you hit, you do your thing, you sleep, you do it again, you go home. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Like, two sleeps. Bye. That's how Vegas
two
should be.
Two sleeps. That's cute. Well, long story short, you know, this article is so funny because, you know, at a conference in Vegas that you would expect, you know, with the title Food on Demand, that it would just be robots everywhere, Roombas that spit chicken nuggets at you, like everything we've like fantasized and joked about or have covered in different headlines we've seen. Basically, the whole thing was like, never leave your home again sort of shit. And it was like, drones are the future, and El Pollo Loco has partnered with a drone company. And right now they've done 500 successful drone deliveries.
Okay.
And North Carolina is the testing ground right now. If you live in NC and you have had El Pollo Loco delivered to you via a drone, get at us. My brother lives there. I might be like, bro,
could you just
drone delivering
just for us? Do you
take
mind?
One for the team, bro? But it's introducing Air Loco from El Pollo Loco. The first national restaurant to deliver by air was the big presentation.
Wow.
This is the hilarious thing, though, okay? The drones can't deliver to apartments. They cannot fly in the rain or in high winds. But if you live in the suburbs within 2 miles of an ordering location and the weather is perfect... you can order food or groceries and it will get to your home in about 5 minutes, which to them is faster and fresher. And they're like, what a bold future.
Really see the commercial for this where it's like someone's like, oh, I'm hungry. My stomach is grumbling. And they walk outside and they lick their finger and hold it up in the air like, to test the wind.
And they're like, it's drone time, baby.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a minimum or on the order. I wonder.
Right. But, you know, but drones don't need to be tipped. These goddamn people demanding a fucking dignified wage.
Right.
Get ready. You're being replaced with a drone delivery drivers.
Yeah.
But this to me is fucking crazy, hilarious, unnecessary. Are we really so certain? Are we that pessimistic that the pandemic has pushed us into these people who are like, everything delivered at my doorstep and I don't ever want to go out and fraternize a goddamn downtown area again? I know this is for a small subsect where maybe it could be really useful, but not for the people we're thinking of. Like, yeah, fucking have medication delivered by drone to people who are elderly.
Love that.
Who are having, you know, but like for anyone who's able-bodied, like what the fucking fuck?
I mean, I agree. And I think this is just the answer to how to eliminate jobs. Like, I mean, that's what I see more than anything is like, food costs are up. Oh, people are going to be barking. They want to get paid a living fucking wage. Well, let's just replace them with machines. You know, that's what I see, you know.
And it's just like, I am so sorry, but people like, it's a pastime to shoot drones out of the air with guns.
Yeah.
If you were to
I see that for sure. I was like, pull! Like,
if I knew I was under a flight path of drones that have delicious food and medicine, I would 100% shoot it down into my
yard.
That's
some Hunger Games shit right there, too. Just like the bing, bing, and like a little soft taco gets gently placed into your hands, you know? Can you imagine if they were like, you forgot my fucking hot sauce?
Just like screaming
up to the sky. Like, do they resend a drone to deliver the hot sauce? Like, how does that work? Does the drone have like a hot sauce chamber and you hold a bowl and it just like, push one for hot sauce, and then it shits hot sauce into a little bowl for you?
I'm more in the mind that like it shoots sort of laser beam style hot sauce at you to get you to run inside and away from
it. Did you say
it.
Laser beans or did you say laser?
I like I really like the imagery of laser beams, but I did say laser beam.
I mean, I'm starving because I've been in the queue for hours and you're not supposed to eat.
Fuck. Okay, what number are you?
I'm 15.
This is amazing.
Yeah,
is
we'll see if it fucks me again. I mean, I'm so glad this thing exists and I can do it. I'm not mad. It's just, it's the premise. It's just the fucking principle of it, you know? I'm glad it exists. I'm happy I live in a world where it's possible. Speaking of fucking drones, someone delivered a PCR test and I talked to a person on a screen. Like, the future is now, guys, you know? I'm not mad at it. It's just annoying. But I am, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. This is just like when I hear about your takeout being delivered by a flying robot, I'm like, guys, let's just take a pause. Everyone, learn a few basic cooking skills. You can guarantee that it's going to be hot, delicious. Mm-hmm. Like, just learn how to cook. If you are depending on a fucking flying robot.
Totally. Totally. And you know there's going to be like so many bags that'll be like, there's fucking bird shit on my back. Or you see like hawks like take like El Pollo Loco bags out of the sky, like, rah! Like snatch, like, snatch.
There were about 6 hawks circling my yard yesterday, and my coworkers, we were doing like a shoot over here, and everyone was like, Jesus Christ, what's up? And I was just like, I don't know. Maybe their food supply is short right now too. I have no idea. They're about, you don't think some fucking California hawks, eagles, owls, and falcons are not going to fight some drones and take your goddamn chalupas? You are wrong.
Talk about fucking up the ecosystem. You start putting the flying food in the air and it's all going to be fucked.
Well, guys, your commitment to not sending server submitted stories is breathtaking.
You guys are doing the work by not doing the work.
I mean, we asked and you didn't deliver, which is what we asked. So we did this to ourselves.
It's true.
But we do have a really sweet message that was sent to us. I do want to shout them out only because it makes us look like the kind-hearted big sisters we hope to feel like we are to you. All right. So Cameron, Cam3787, they gave us a message, sent it our way. They went on to say, hi, girls. I listen to your podcast all the time. I start my day off with them when there's a new one. I crack up all the flipping time. I want to say you guys gave me the hope and courage to go to culinary school.
What?
I know. I started in the beginning of 2020, and I'm so proud to say I graduated 2 weeks ago. I used to work front of house growing up in high school and during community college. Love you guys.
Oh, my God. We have molded young minds.
You poor, poor things. But we did it.
That's amazing. But Cameron,
thank you so much for that message, Cameron. Like, we just love, if you know what, if that's what it's devolved into, how you know, want to send us a message, how we have distinctly molded and shaped your life for the better, we will accept that also.
Yoo-hoo!
This is crazy. All right, this is some goss. There's a local spot called Melody Wine Bar. Mm-hmm. I tried to get a job there and
I remember.
You know, it's such a bummer because I do think I would have loved working there. They weren't where they are now, which is like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They have had just such, like, the pandemic was actually a renaissance for Melody Wine Bar.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were supposed to be, you know, prior.
Right. And I think they had been, you know, they were like, it is unsustainable for us to have our own kitchen anymore. Like, it's just the competition or word of mouth that we exist, all this stuff. And we've mentioned before, it's like this gorgeous fucking restaurant in a cute little A-frame home with one of the prettiest patios on the east side of LA. Beautiful, organic, sustainable wines. And then what they started doing perfectly was every night of the week was like, listen, get it while it's here. It's a pop-up with only so many servings, but being a platform for lots of really, really great food vendors and creators to come through and partner. you know, and they'd be like, we'll serve this wine tonight that's going to go so great with these tacos tonight, or, you know, Little Fish, which we've spoken about, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, the pandemic and the fact that it caused so many other big scale restaurants to pare down, it actually was perfect for Melody because they were like, we've already been doing this mm-hmm. and we're fucking crushing at it. Mm-hmm. So they've got, anyways, long story short, like I went into interview to start and they were like, we're not doing great. We would love to give you a job, but right now it's just like the owners were waiting tables and running the whole goddamn show. And now I think that might still be there. Anyways, they're killing it. They've made all the best lists, you know, in LA finally. I'm just so happy for them. But the owner of Melody Wine Bar posted this basically 9 hours ago. And long story short, someone wrote him, the owner, a note on, you know, that was like, hey, I saw that conversation went down. You didn't deserve that. You deserve all the great things, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait, what the fuck is this? So then the caption, the comment under that was like, to the fool of a husband and father with baby in a stroller who demanded to sit at a large table when we were near capacity, that was for 4 to 6 people, lied about knowing the owner, who is myself, then threw a tantrum telling me to fuck off, and then pushed me down Ooh. Into a table full of customers, .. Who are you? Just because you live on Hyperion, which means nothing. Have you heard anyone ever say, I live on Hyperion?
Never. I work in Hyperion. What? I'm like, who lives there? Like,
what the fuck? It's all businesses. Like, anyways, who says, I live on Hyperion with privilege. What privilege gives you the right to assault me in front of your wife, baby child, and a packed patio full of customers who heard your pathetic plea for preferential treatment? Over the course of 4 years, we unfortunately deal with clowns such as these from time to time. Let this be a reminder. Your anger and ego are not welcome here. It was my distinct pleasure to return the favor and toss your sorry ass to the street, reminding you what a poor example and embarrassment you are to a child you and your partner recently birthed. Tonight, we host one more spontaneous night with their partnering with King Can LA. And of course, that horny 90%. The other 10% can stay home. Because that's their whole fucking fun thing is like their whole vibe there is like, we drink good wine, eat sexy food, and we're horny. Mm-hmm. And it's, I know. But like, God damn, man. People, I'm not saying I'm on the assaulter's side. He is absolutely, like, what I'm saying is like, people are just getting crazier and crazier.
It's a whole lot. It doesn't. And I I don't even know how to unpack it other than like, fuck that shit, period. Like, no room for that. No time.
No time, no room, or to be just like, wow, you clearly have never come here. And you did the I know the owner and you were talking to the owner. That's so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. The owner's like, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck are you? And then after like not getting what you want, pushed them and assaulted them in front of like their hard won fan base and customers who like would fucking open a vein for these guys. Oh, they yeah. love Melody Wine Bar. So anyways, it's just like, holy shit. People have like lost their goddamn minds.
Truly, truly.
Baby in a stroller in front of everybody. Like, wow, bro. Okay.
I just feel like it's just, I'm just like, yep, that's life now. But I will say part of that 10% for sure. I'm top 10 in the queue, y'all.
Top 10, 9, 8,
no, it's still
7,
10. Nope, still 10.
6. Okay, I was going to do like a ball drop with you, a COVID ball drop.
How does it feel to be a worthless loser?
Since today's a bit of a mishmash.
Yeah, this is our top headline is the topic of the day.
Oh. When I say, oh, I was
chef's kiss.
Magnifique. It is like manna from heaven. I, you know, we were sort of like, well, what do we want to do? You know, we don't have sort of guests locked in and booked for until like next week and beyond. Mm-hmm. And so I was struggling and then this happened. Okay. If you want to share the headline.
Oh, sure. Okay. Sure. 90 Day Fiancé star retires from selling farts after heart attack scare.
Yeah, guys. And it's, she didn't, you know, and you're going like, how does she sell farts?
Yeah.
How do you sell a fart? Well, she had been selling farts in jars.
In jars. Yeah. As a sexy thing.
As, right. Right. Which is something that never dawned on Andrea and I.
No.
No. We were never trying to sexualize never. Our fart
yeah.
in a jar giveaway.
Yeah. We just think it's hilarious.
The first sentence of this New York Post article, she ended up being hospitalized. Thankfully, she's fine, but she had a fart attack, is what they said. This is journalism. She was hospitalized with a fart attack. So her name is Stephanie Matto. God damn. And so she's been on 90 Day Fiancé. And
did you say that she blew people away on social media?
Yep,
if you didn't notice,
they listen. Journalists can't resist. This is this is a little too juicy. Hello, let's think of all of our fart puns. But this story is really going to gas you guys up. But basically, she blew people away, and she's blowing me away because I heard about this. She had been making more than $50,000 a week selling her farts in a jar online.
Now I feel like we really missed the bus on that one, Brooke.
I'm telling you, we thought you wanted t-shirts, and we were wrong.
You're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. But you know, I'm not some sort of hot piece of A from 90 Day Fiancé. So.
Yes. She's considerably older than her. And yeah.
So she had her own YouTube, you know, channel, as you do, expedited subscription, a site called Unfiltered. And then she really made waves with her olfactory business by capturing her emissions in jars and selling them because she thought it'd be hilarious publicity and a way to get more people's attention, which it did. So she made $200,000 in sales originally. And then basically, she recently, like we said, was rushed to the hospital with chest pains. She feared it was a heart attack. And it turns out, basically, they were like, wait, you're on a steady diet of beans and eggs?
And like really thick protein shakes. Like, it goes on. Her diet would rotate based on the kind of olfactory sort of emission she wanted to capture in the jar. So like, it was kind of like, when you know, the way a wine curator you know, really really tills the soil. She's like, ooh, this is a really nice varietal that I'm whipping up that includes protein shakes, eggs, and a lot of black bean soup.
I mean, I'm sure the bacteria in her gut was going crazy and overproducing so much gas. Literally, the gas just like went up into her chest and was like putting pressure on her heart.
And that is what happens. I think it's only maybe happened to me once or twice in my life where gas has very, very much scared me into thinking my life was possibly ending. It hurts. It gets trapped in weird pockets in your body if you can't get it out.
Truly.
Like, I've had gas like trapped like under ribs and in my armpit, and like it's a strange sensation.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think you've seen like several sitcoms, if not shows, where it's just like, you know, someone's like, I'm having a heart attack, and they let a huge fart out and they're like, well, I guess that's that. But this self-proclaimed fartrepreneur has to change her diet, basically. It's too much, they're saying, you know? She cannot go on like this, Brooke, if she wants to live to 32.
Well, yeah. to see the beautiful age of 32, she was, you know, to make that money, baby, you know, she was doing upwards of 50 farts in jars a day, which... Here's the
thing. She's a little fart factory, you know?
Well, she is, but she knew how to feed the monster. And I have my days where I'm like, where's my jar and my audience when I need it? Because you do have the days when everything's out of control and you can't capture it and market it. But then, like, goddamn, when we sent someone a fart in a jar, nary Nary a bit of wind that wanted to pass through my body. Like when it was time to deliver.
You couldn't I'm not perform? Gonna lie.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't perform. It was an empty jar. It was just it was symbolism and nothing more. The fact that we mailed someone a jar.
Yeah.
And said that there was a fart in it. Maybe
there was a placebo fart in jar. Who knows? It's if you believe the fart is in the jar, I think that is enough. She could have been very much just mailing empty fartless jars. I mean, of course, you don't want to do that to your fans. But, you know, she was advised not to change her diet and take a gas suppressant, which has effectively ended her business.
I mean, we are laughing, but I admire her work ethic because yeah. She was producing. She was eating in a way because she's like, listen, it's a fetish that people aren't out loud about. And they were 100% popping that cork out and just snipping, taking a
probably having a wank. Let's be honest.
Ooh.
This is what it's about.
This is what it's about. And you and I didn't want to go to the dark side. It was a fun joke. But then when you monetize it, you have to deliver and you have to now have an army of people who are like, oh, hell yeah. I just got a jar filled with butt perfume, you know?
Stephanie is so cute. And there's like this photo of her like splayed out on her bed with her computer. And I'm just like, it just must stink so bad in that room. Right now is all I can think of.
But she is like beloved. She's beloved. There are so many people who are like, hashtag girl boss, you inspired me to start my own business, which is amazing. Because you know what? Who's laughing all the way to the bank $200,000 richer?
Well, it's really interesting, you know? Can you imagine like trying to have like an intervention with somebody like who's just like doing this to their body to like make the money. I just think, and it says, she even says that she thinks her family is relieved about her and like her health, obviously. But yes, she is retired and has decided to donate a portion of her income to the charity that supports gastric disorders. You know, I'm sure people are disappointed. You know, I know this is a silent but deadly choice that she had to make, but I think it's the right choice for sure.
Yeah. I also feel like there's sort of a hole in the market that needs replacing, and you and I have a fucking opportunity. 2022. Let's fucking scoop up all of her disappointment.
Should we take over where she left? I mean, she took the air out of her business where we can put it back. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Where are you in the queue?
Oh, girl. Number six.
Fuck. We've kind of run out of content. But
yeah. We've been watching, I'm just gonna say, like, ending this, we've been watching The Golden Girls a lot since Betty White passed. And we were
Can I just say, in the New Year's Eve day, then we got the news that we both saw it. It was basically 11:47 in the afternoon, local Los Angeles.
Oh, I was
time.
Driving, like KCRW announced it. I screamed. Us
too. Okay, so we were in our car when Chris Doritas, who's a great DJ, said it out loud. And Sean and I were just like, oh my God. And you're just like, the final insult. The final insult of 2021, but I believe it was a gift because she's like, I shall not be a harbinger of bad 2022. I am going to just be the fucking cake topper.
Oh, I think she's a fucking baller. Of course she goes out on New Year's Eve like that and then everybody toasts to her and what a way to go. But
and she's dominating headlines and as sad and as you're like, I can't take it anymore. You're also like, fuck, she great. Like she fucking one-upped 2021.
2021, absolutely. She was like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking throw it all down.
And then
yeah,
I'm gonna, peace. She owned it.
We're watching this episode where she thinks that she's like dumb and can't keep up, like Rose does, with this guy that she's dating who is a professor. And so she invites him over to dinner to like have him on her turf. And she's like, of course, she makes like a dish from the old country, which is like flurkin glurkin or whatever it is. and they ask her what's in it. And she's like, oh, it's just like ground beef and cabbage. And then they cut to Sophia, who's like, oh, you feed me cabbage? Guess I'll be skywriting for the rest of the night. And it's like the most subtle fucking fart jab. And now Brian and I can't stop saying that we've been skywriting all day. It's my favorite new way to talk about farting.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, that's truly beautiful.
I'm number four, funny. Which is what happened last time, guys. I got kicked out of the queue at four. But I don't know if we're going to make it, because you're right, Brooke. We don't have any more content. And this nose is not going to swab itself. Actually, it is, because that's how it works with this home test.
I see you picking up your little swab. And you're about to.
Good timing, though. Great, great timing. You know, I'll have Brian put vids on me. Oh, man, I got to put my phone in, too, because it might.
Yeah, I was like, just have him record it. And again, all this content we promise and never deliver on. Get ready to not see it, guys. Just the way you don't send us server submitted stories.
Well, you guys, happy 2022. We're excited to be back at you. We're going to have some, you know, like we're getting our shit together, get some fun stuff coming at you. Turn in those server submitted stories. We're officially, submissions are open again.
They're open again. Or tell us if you got COVID.
Yeah.
Tell us about your COVID debacle.
Yeah.
What's happening at your restaurants? Uh-huh. Have you guys been able to keep a staff? If you're not sick of talking about it, we're curious. We want to hear about it.
Especially because everybody is now saying that, like, obviously the way the Omicron is spread is so different. It's like the vapors, like, or sorry, the droplets are like an aerosol can and go further. Yeah,
sorry, you were confusing fart in a jar.
Thank you. So much fart talk. That I'm just curious that, you know, even they're even saying like even outdoor dining can be suspect. It's fucking crazy out there is all I'm saying. So,
yeah,
we hope you guys are well. We love you. And Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
That's right. Godspeed.
And good tips, guys.
And treat yourself to a good fart, like a real nice, lengthy, no one's around. Yeah. Just let it out. My boyfriend stepped out of the house real quickly today because a handyman came by and I was still in bed. And I was like, oh, he's outside the house. And I was just like rolled over and was just like,
I think we can agree 2022 is going to be a real ripper. Brooke.
Yes. Talk to you guys next week.